Just a few broken pieces to work with. A handful of fragments of me. But Jesus picked them all up with his sweet hand of love. His vision was what I could be. Took what the world saw as worthless and created a masterpiece made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand, grace from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, for what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace.
I can't explain how he found me. I was hopelessly lost in sin. But Jesus could see what tomorrow would bring, and he did his work within. With the skill of the potter, he molded me in the image of him,
made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand, grace from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, for what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace. Made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand, grace from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, for what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace.
Take your Bibles and open with me to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, our reading this morning is going to begin in verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, verse 25, and let's all stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to read aloud as you follow along in your Bible. Luke 10, verse 25, and I'll read down to verse 29. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all you do for us, Lord. I thank you for sending your Son. Lord, as the first song sang, is life for mine. Lord, thank you for that day on Calvary. Lord, I thank you for this church and our pastor, God. And I pray now that you would give him your power, Lord. I pray that he would preach with your power on him. Lord, I pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Lord, as we listen to your word preached, that we may respond according to your will. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Pastor BJ, for the reading of the scripture, and thank you for following along. I want to also publicly express my thanks and appreciation for our first responders, not only for what they do in the community, but for taking time to be in our special service today. Thank you for being here. We did have someone that didn't stand up who represents our board of supervisors here in the area, and that's Amber Foster. Thank you for being here today. And we're glad that you took time and come to be with us again. You've been with us before, and we thank you for coming back and being with us this morning. As we were reading through the scripture this morning, I think that the passage of scripture that has been read is probably a very familiar passage of scripture to even someone who just casually attends church. For those of you who attend Fellowship Baptist Church, you're probably thinking, hey, didn't we just go over this scripture about a month ago? And you're exactly right, we did. But I purposefully left out some thoughts that God had given me in preparation for today. And so I want to go back and catch those scriptures. But before I do, I want to remind you of something, of this very important parable that Jesus gave. I want you to take into its context, again, in Luke chapter number 10, there was a man, I'm going to give you a little background. There's a man who was very familiar with the law. In other words, he was familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. And he stood up and he said, I have a question for Jesus. And he said, this question is, what do I have to do to get to heaven? Now, I'm paraphrasing. I want eternal life. I want to go to heaven. And I think that's a very good question. I think a lot of people would have that question. As a matter of fact, I believe everyone wants to go to heaven. Now, is everyone going to heaven? No. But I do believe everyone wants to go. I believe that's the desire of every person is to, when they leave this life, to go to heaven. We say, well, some people don't believe in God. Well, okay, I still believe everybody wants to go to heaven. I just believe that people know there's something embedded and bred in man to know that we're eternal. This life is not all there is. This is not all there is. And there's just something inside of us that knows that after this life, there's something else. Now, there may be a little confusion to some on what exactly that is. Let me personally assure you, there's no confusion in the Bible on what that is. The Bible's very clear. And so Jesus gave this parable to this young lawyer who stood up and said, hey, I want to go to heaven, and can you tell me what I need to do to get there? And so the Lord Jesus said this, and if you're following along in your Bible, he said in verse number 26, he said, what is written in the law? You're a lawyer. You know what the scriptures say. You study the scriptures. What does it say? What is written in the law? How readest thou? How do you understand when you read the Bible? What does the Bible tell you? You tell us. You're asking me a question, Jesus is saying, but now you tell us. Oftentimes the Lord Jesus did this. He would answer a question with a question. Now there's a purpose for that, because questions make you think. You know, if you just start stating things and stating things and stating things, then sometimes you can lose people. But when you ask a question, now people have to get engaged because they have to think. And so he said, what do you think? You tell me. You're asking me the question. How do you read the Bible? What do you see in there? And so this young man said this. He answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy strength and with all of thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we know that that is in the Bible. We know the scripture teaches this in more than one place. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. As a matter of fact, you can't do it. You say, well, I love the Lord with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you? At all times? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? At all times? You can't keep the law. Now, here's what Jesus is doing. He's trying to teach this man something. You can't do anything in and of yourself to get yourself to heaven. There's a work that has to be done. There's a work that has to be done if you're going to get to heaven. You can't make it to heaven on your own. See, God has so made it that way. We can't get to heaven on our own. See, there's nothing in us that merits us a place in heaven. And so when this young man asked this question, Jesus said, what do you read in the law? He said, well, I read this. And Jesus said this in verse number 28. He said unto him, thou hast answered right. You're right. You can do that, you go to heaven. That's how you can get there. And then he's put this on him. Don't you miss this. He said in verse 28, he answered to him and he said, thou hast answered right. This, and I want you to underline that next word in your Bible, do. All you got to do now is do it. Right? Now all you have to do is do it. You do this, you go to heaven. In other words, you live life, never break a commandment, right? Always keep the commandments. Always love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Always love your neighbor as yourself. You always do what the law says, you can go to heaven in your own self. But now if you can't, you need to find another way to get there. Right? So, I guess the question is, how was your weekend? Every moment of every day, this past weekend, this past week, did you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself? I mean, did you view your neighbor as yourself? When your neighbor had a need, when your neighbor had a care, when your neighbor was rejoicing, when your neighbor was in sorrow, did you view all of that as you would as if it were you? Now, if you didn't, then you're not doing what the law said. Guess what? You don't get to go to heaven then. Not based on that. Right? Now, what's Jesus teaching here? He's teaching that the law was not given in order that it could get us to heaven. The law was given in order to teach us that we are sinful, that we fall short. Now, because of that, this man, if you'll read again in the scripture, in verse 29, instead of saying, and throwing himself on the mercy of God and saying, you know what, I can't do that. And instead of throwing himself on the mercy of God and saying, I can't do it. I can't do this. The Bible says in verse number 29 that he willing to justify himself. See, this is where pride gets in the way. He willing to justify himself. In other words, I'm better than that. I can do this. I can do this. There's something I can do to get to heaven. And so he said, well then, who is my neighbor? Just who is my neighbor? So now he's taking a question that he asked. He didn't like the answer that he got, so he asked another question. Right? See, the question was, how can I get to heaven? But now he's going to try to be a distractor. You know, he's going to try to detract what the question was and say, I want to get right back to what can I do now? I've got to do something. So, well, who's my neighbor? And then Jesus gave this story. Now, I want to break this down for you and tell you once again the story as Jesus gave it. He said, there was this man, if you'll look in verse number 30, Jesus answered and said, a certain man. Now, we're going to come back to this man because this man is you and this man is me. I did not go into this man when I preached this message about a month ago. And I gave you three groups of people in this parable where Jesus said there was this man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves and was stripped of his raiment. He was wounded and they departed and they left him half dead. Now here's a man who can do nothing for himself. All right? And what this young man doesn't understand is that Jesus is saying, hey, this is you. This is you. You can't do anything for yourself. You're asking me how you can get to heaven? I'll tell you, you can't do it yourself. You're like this man. Now, a lot of people, when they read this, they say, well, you know, Jesus is telling him, you be like the Samaritan. No, Jesus is saying, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, you're like this man. You can't do anything on your own. You're asking a question that you don't have the answer to. You do not have the resources in yourself. Now, listen to me. When man gets to this place in his life, then he can get some help from heaven. When we get to the place in our lives where we realize I can't get to heaven on my own, I must put my faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's not what can I do to get to heaven. There's nothing you can do to get to heaven. There's no good in you. There's no good in me. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not some of us, not most of us, all of us. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You want to do a test this morning? How many people lived last week without sinning? And I don't like that test. Well, none of us do we? You see, we're sinful by nature. We're sinful in birth. Listen, we cannot live life without sinning. I'm not advocating to go out and sin. I'm not advocating. The Bible teaches that we ought to, with all that's within us, as God is our helper, we ought to do right, live right, be right. The Bible teaches that. But you know and I know that we in ourselves, we're sinners. At the very best, we're sinners saved by the grace of God. And so, he said there was this man and he was overtaken by thieves. Now, there's a lot of people that lives the lives of thieves. Remember when we looked at this, we talked about those people who said, you know what? I do what I want and no one's going to stop me. That's the way the thieves live their life. I'm going to do what I want. You have something that I want, I'm going to take it. That is not a good way to live life. That's why we have these folks. That is not a good way to live life. You have something I want, and I'm going to take it. Thieves, robbers. And yet, when Jesus gave this story, he said, you cannot live life without encountering these people. They're around every turn. Now, would to God that they were not, but listen, the plain fact, the plain truth is they are. And though we have laws in our country, and though we have laws set up, laws do not prevent people. It does not give people the power not to do wrong. It is a deterrent, and I thank God for it. Would to God we'd put more teeth in the law. However, the law in and of itself does not give an individual the power not to do wrong. It does give a warning what will happen if you do wrong. Jesus said, there's thieves. You've got a decision to make. You're going to live like this? You want to be a taker all your life? Gimme, gimme. Be a taker. Go take things that don't belong to you. We know what the Bible teaches about that. And we talked about that. And there are those who have that attitude. I'm going to do what I want. It doesn't matter what anyone says. And no one's going to stop me. You're going to get in trouble is what you're going to do. And now we're going to send some of our friends come visit you. Robbers, thieves. And then Jesus mentioned this. He said in verse number 31, he said, after this man was stripped and left half dead by these robbers and thieves, he said, by chance there came a certain priest. Now here's a religious man. Here's a preacher, if you will. Okay? Here's a church guy. Now I don't want to be too hard on this man. Because I kind of am in that category. But I don't want to be too hard on him because of this reason. All right? He's just come from Jerusalem. And he's gone there and he's gone through ceremonies to make himself, as the law would have it, to make himself clean and to purify himself so that he could go back and do the administration of the temple. All right? The synagogue, the church. Now, one of the things, as you read the Old Testament, that a priest was not to do is he's not to come into contact with dead carcasses. He's not to come into contact with dead bodies. So he sees this guy, and the scripture says here, Jesus, as he was telling this, he said when he passed by, he said he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. That's not very compassionate. Right? You know, we expect these folks to be compassionate and loving and caring and be there when we need them. Can I tell you, Brother Dan touched on it, every one of us need to be that way. We need to be helpers to these people. We're on the same team. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus said right here, when this man was stripped and he was left there for dead, and when his garment was taken by these thieves, he gave us a category of people. It was these thieves. But then he said, then here comes a guy that you would expect that's going to do something to help this man, a priest, a preacher, if you will. And yet when he walked up, he just seen him and he passed and he went on by. People do that every day. There was a time when people, this being Patriot Day, there was a time when in this country we had to pass a law, an act, called the Good Samaritan Law, the Good Samaritan Act, to where if you help people, you couldn't get in trouble for trying to help somebody. I mean, that's how far we've come. You don't want to help somebody, now somebody's going to sue you for trying to help them. I mean, you know, I don't think that was the reason the priest didn't help the guy. But I do think it says a lot about how far we've come. So now, you've got this priest, and he goes up, and he just passes on by. He doesn't do anything. All right, now I've given you the reasons. Now, what does the priest and the Levite represent? Okay? The priest and the Levite, they represent this, okay? Now, what is mine, and I'm going to keep it. So you see, the thieves have this idea, all right? What is yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. You don't want to live life that way. But can I tell you just as bad a way to live life? What is mine, and I'm going to keep it. That's a terrible way to live life. What if these folks lived their life that way? What if we lived our life that way? Brethren, God will give through us what he will not give to us. Not everything God gives us is for us. God gives us things. We've said that right here at Fellowship Baptist Church. God has blessed this church. God has given us things, not so we can keep for ourselves, but so we can share with this community. And even around the world through world evangelism and world missions. God has started, he has turned a light on here. And God wants this light to shine throughout this community and around the world. But when you put that light under a bushel, when you keep it to yourselves, you limit what God can do. And here was a priest and here was a Levite. And when you read this story carefully, you'll find they had a great opportunity to do good. And you know what they did? Nothing. Nothing. The thieves were noted by what they did. It was wrong. But these, they're noted by what they didn't do. Can I tell you, the man got no help from those that you thought would be those that would help. And then he gives the Samaritan. I want you to look in your Bible and look, if you would, in verse number 33. It says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, here's the key, he had compassion on him. He had compassion. See, compassion's what makes the difference. When you care for people, when I care for people. Now, what is Jesus teaching this young man right here who stood up? Don't forget the question. Many, as they read this passage, they forget the initial question. And they go back to, well, you know, who is my neighbor? That's not the initial question. That's not the question that really needs to be answered right here. The question that really needs to be answered right here is, how do I get to heaven? Now, the second question, as he was trying to defer from that, was, who is my neighbor? Right? See, that's what happens when you begin to engage people, and when we begin to think, when the Spirit of God and the Word of God, when the preacher's preaching or someone's talking to us about getting to heaven, the thing we want to do is, hey, we got to get out of this. So, you know, and we want to take the conversation somewhere else. Well, what about this? Well, what about this? But the question is, what do I need to do to get to heaven? And then he said, well, then, who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus said, I'll answer that, but there's a question that you need answered far more than you need to answer, who is my neighbor? Your initial question was, how do I get to heaven? How do I inherit eternal life? So he gave the story of the Samaritan. He said, the Samaritan went and he showed him compassion. I'm going to show you some things here that this guy did. He took up his time. Listen, if I'm going to help people, it's going to cost me some time. Listen, some of these folks are volunteers. It takes their time. They don't punch in and punch out like we do. Well, like some of you do. Right? It costs us something. If we're going to help people, it's going to cost us. It's going to inconvenience us. If the only time that we help people is when it's convenient, we're not going to help very many people. Say amen with me. We're just not going to do it. If the only time we help people is when there's minimal to no cost involved, we're not going to help very many people. Do you realize that this Samaritan went to where that man was? That track of property there where he was on, that 17-mile track from Jerusalem to Jericho, was known as the blood mile or the blood area. Why? Very dangerous. The man got overtaken by thieves and robbers. But he put himself in harm's way. You think these men and women put themselves in harm's way? You better believe they do. And if we're going to help people, we're going to have to put ourselves in some harm's way too. It's not easy. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. If we're going to make a difference in our community, if we're going to make a difference in people's lives, it's going to cost us something. It's not going to be convenient. It may be that we've got to put ourselves in a little uncomfortable, if not a dangerous, situation. All right? Now, I'm not saying run out here and be foolish. But I am saying that if we're just waiting on something to throw itself in front of us or in our proverbial lap, and that we're going to be able to help person after person based on that, we're not going to help very many people. We're going to have to go to where they are. Right? So, if it just come to church, it'd get right with God, everything would be all right. This man couldn't go anywhere. He was beaten, he was stripped, he was left there. He couldn't get up and go find somebody to help him. He couldn't help himself. Now, what is Jesus teaching here? He's teaching this young man, you're just like him. You don't know it yet. See, you think you're like the priest. You think you're like the Levite. You may even think you're like the Samaritan. Which, by the way, there's so much into this. The Jews and the Samaritans, they can stand one another. You know that, right? What were the Samaritans? They were what in our day they would call half-breeds, right? That's when the Jews were taken into captivity into Syria, and they intermarried in there. And so they became what they were called half-breeds, and they hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. And so Jesus said, give you a test. You're a Jew. You're hurt. Guess who the hero of this story is? Somebody you don't think very fondly of. A Samaritan. Wouldn't it be something if I called Sheriff Weaver and said, Sheriff Weaver, it's Pastor Freeman down at Fellowship Baptist Church. We got a little situation down here. I'd like for you to come down and help us out. Yeah, I'd like to, but y'all don't believe the way I believe. Or I heard that you were originally from South Carolina. We don't do business with folks from South Carolina. Right? Hey, we're laughing, but sometimes we live our lives the same way. You don't look like me. You don't talk like me. You don't act like me. So I don't think I'm going to help you. What a terrible way to live life. If the only people that I'm going to help are the people like me, I'm not going to help very many people. Because thankfully for you and, well, a lot of others, there's not very many people like me. What are you laughing at? There's not very many people like you either. So you see, what's Jesus teaching here? He's teaching, you've got to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to help people, you've got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to help people that you don't even like. You think they get out their Facebook and see how many like their posts? Let's see, we got this emergency call here, but I noticed I posted something, they didn't like my status. I don't think we're going to go over there today. Hey, people live their lives that way. How silly, how shallow. That's what Jesus is teaching here. He's teaching you can't do this, not and be effective. Now here's what I want you to catch, and I'll be done. So here's this man, and he's hearing this story from the greatest teacher ever to live, ever to teach, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jesus is telling this story, he's probably thinking, "Well, I'm not a thief or a robber, a church-going guy. I'm a lawyer. I study the law and I interpret some things in the scripture and help people. So I wouldn't fit in that robber group. Thieves. What is yours is mine and I'm going to take it." Maybe he thought, well, I'm kind of a priest and a Levite. What is mine and I'm going to keep it. But I'm not really that way, am I? And maybe he was trying to justify, no, I'm not that way. I'll help people. And so then maybe he even said, I'm not the Samaritan, but man, that would have been hard for a Jew. Right? I believe he would have rather identified with the thieves and robbers than he would with the Samaritan. See, the thieves say, what is yours is mine, I'm going to take it. The religious people in this said, what is mine, I'm going to keep it. But you know what the Samaritan said? What is mine, and I'm going to share it. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to use it to help you. Because I realize that not everything I have is for me. God gives me some things for you. God gives some things through me to help other people. Well, I tell you, we've become so crazed with materialism in our country that we think that everything that comes our way is for us to keep. We've got our garages full. Wow. That just hit home. We have our garages full of stuff. We have buildings, you know, that we have to rent out to put our stuff in. And there's people all around us that need some stuff. And instead of us reaching out and helping people that have needs, we just keep renting more storage buildings to put our stuff in. Why? Because we become so greedy. And it's easy to become selfish and to think, well, there's nothing I can do to help them. There's a lot we all can do to help others. We just have to realize that what we have, God didn't give to us just so we can keep it or even store it somewhere. Give it to somebody. Right? But it's not just about stuff. It's not just about stuff. What about this man that was beaten, left there? You ever seen yourself as him? How do you see yourself this morning? Really? How do you see yourself? Say, well, preacher, I'm not a thief or a robber. And I believe that. Okay. If you are, they've got their eye on you. Amen. That stuff catches up with you after a while. Well, I'm not just one of these religious people who just play church and just talk about it but never put it into action like the priest and the Levite. I'm not like that, you know. Well, good. I'm a Samaritan. Well, if you want to think that of yourselves, that's good. But you see, when I read this story, I see myself as that man who was beaten. I see myself as the man who was stripped, who needed help. I really do. I needed somebody that had every reason to pass by me. Now listen to me carefully. That Samaritan did not like that Jew. Okay? As a matter of fact, you can turn over to John chapter 4 sometime. Don't do it this morning. And you can read where this is the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. There's a story of a bad Samaritan. She was a woman. And she had a pretty stained and tainted background. Okay? We call her the woman of the well. She was the bad Samaritan. You know what she asked Jesus? How is it that thou, being a Jew, would have any dealings with me, being a Samaritan? She knew. Jews and Samaritans don't get along. Right? So here was this man, beaten, half dead. The last person that he would have expected to come by his way and to help him would have been a Samaritan. And yet, he did. You know, God is holy. We seem to have forgotten that, haven't we? God is holy. Can I tell you that God loves you regardless of the kind of life you live? He does. Now, I didn't say you're going to heaven regardless of the kind of life you live. I didn't say that. I said God loves you. And God will reach out to you. As a matter of fact, He already has. See, this Samaritan had every reason. He was so different from this Jew. Jesus is so different from you. So different. So different than me. Jesus had every right to pass me by. He had every right, but I sure am glad He didn't. Amen. I sure am glad He didn't. That Samaritan had every right to pass by that Jewish man that was overtaken and left there. He had every reason to do that, but I'm so glad He didn't. You know what He did? He invested in his life. I'm glad God's invested in my life. I am so thankful that God has invested into my life. If you ever see any good in me, I want you to know something. It's not me. It's God in me. Jesus has made such a wonderful difference in my life. How about you? Amen. Now, you know why Jesus is wanting this young man to know this? He said, if you ever get the grace of God extended to you, you won't have a problem extending the grace of God to someone else. Did you hear what I just said? When you realize that you were just there, helpless and hopeless, and God came to you and done something marvelous and wonderful by extending His amazing grace to you, His unmerited favor, when you really get a hold of that, you won't have a problem helping other people. It doesn't matter. Listen, they could be your friend, they could be your enemy. They could be like you. They could be so different than you that there's no comparison whatsoever. But you won't have a problem. You know why? Because there's something greater than the law. It's called love. When you read that, the man that helped him, he had compassion on him. He's the only one that did. See, you got to feel something before you'll do something. I believe that with all of my heart. Well, we're just going to go out and we're going to do. That's what what shall I do to get to heaven? He said, now, listen, you got to feel something before you'll do something. He felt it in his heart, and then he went and put it into action in his life. You ever have a real encounter with God by coming to Jesus Christ and being saved, you will get involved in helping other people. You will. And it won't be because it's written in your rule book. It'll be because it's in your heart. I just have no doubt. I don't know. I don't think many, if any, of these people on a personal way. I know of them and I thank them for their service, but I believe this. I just believe it. I believe that these people work tireless hours of community service. I believe they put themselves in harm's way. I believe they face things that you can't write up in a report. I believe that. I think they're confronted with things. Some are dangerous. Some are, a split decision has to be made. They never know what they're going to be confronted with each day when they awaken and go to work. I think the reason they continue to do what they do is because it starts right in here. Right in here. I want you to stand to your feet with me. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Why do you do what you do? So, well, I'm not a first responder like these and our own Brother John here. I'm not a first responder. Well, do you care about people? Has God done something in your life? Have you ever realized that you were like that man, beaten and left for half dead? You're a sinner. These are good people. I don't think I'd have to convince any of them they're sinners. Just a casual reading of the Bible says we're all sinners. Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Preacher, how do sinners get to heaven? There's only one way. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. God in his great mercy sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. He died for your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. He was buried, and thank God 3 days later he resurrected from the tomb, and that's what we're doing here today. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus is alive and alive forevermore. Have you ever trusted him as your personal Savior? Have you? If you have, then you know what it is to be saved by grace and have your sin forgiven. And God will help you extend the grace that's been shown to you to others. Now, if you haven't, that's going to be difficult for you. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask the pianist to come.